The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Now, just because a lesbian couple is married does not mean they really want you to call them wives. We can't totally explain it. We just know it's true. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hi. Today, we would like to open the show.
We have a treat.
In the kitchen.
Yes.
This is Sienna. Welcome to Sienna's oven.
Well, okay. So let me say that I do love to bake. It's very therapeutic for me. And I have to also share that there was a period that was extremely stressful. And I was baking like every single weekend, which was actually not good for us. Remember, Toast, like at one point we had so much, we had like cake in the freezer. Yeah, we had like all kinds of things in the freezer. Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying a piece of cake every night.
There was, I think we also had muffins. We
cookies.
Had brownies. It was just getting to be too
glorious.
Much. So this recipe is something I wanted to share because it tastes decadent. But it's healthier for you.
Well,
healthier.
Let's qualify the decadent.
Oh, decadent.
Because we, okay.
Okay, yeah. We it really, might not taste decadent right. if you eat Oreos on the regular.
Yeah. Because we really do try to eat very healthy. And what I think that results in is taste buds that
have acquired.
That will call, for example, that will call a cookie decadent, or that will call a piece of cake that, oh, this tastes so good. But then, you know, it only tastes so good if you're used to health food. You know what I'm saying? So
I think that we do have some healthier recipes that are actually quite delicious.
Yes,
right?
True.
For most palates. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me share why you need this recipe. First of all, you need it because if you make a batch of these on the weekend, individually wrap them, throw them in a Ziploc, and throw that Ziploc in the freezer, then throughout your week, you can grab a cookie when you need something in a pinch. And well, because these are high protein, they will satisfy you. You will... The sugars in the cookie will not like skyrocket and make your blood sugar levels just skyrocket. It will not do that. So you
I have
need
a question
this.
Though.
Yes.
If one plans to eat all the cookies.
Yeah.
Within that week.
Okay. No, you won't eat all the cookies in the week.
Oh, because the recipe makes a lot of cookies.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll probably last you, well, I don't know. It just depends on your lifestyle. So it depends on what your needs are. But what this is so great for is for those people who always buy protein bars.
Yeah, protein bars or energy bars.
Yeah, energy bars.
Those meal replacement bars.
They're so expensive. And they're really not the best for you.
No.
I got to say, they're not the best for you. Okay. So this is a protein cookie recipe. So I will share what's in it. But you can check the show notes for the exact recipe.
I will put it on our blog.
Okay.
And there should be a link to our blog in the show notes, if not the recipe itself.
Okay. So what this has in it, and oh, here's also what's so fabulous, is that this is a one bowl recipe. And for people who bake things, you know what that means. It means heaven. You're not having to sift in one bowl all your dry stuff and then work with all the wet ingredients in the other bowl. No, this is all, you throw it all in one bowl. So basically it calls for 4 to 6 very ripe bananas. That's in place of either eggs or sugar. So there's no other sugar in this recipe except if you add chocolate chips, which are optional. Okay, and this recipe is also vegan. So you have ripe bananas, you have gluten-free oats, which are optional if you want to be grain-free.
Okay.
You have almond flour, you have coconut oil, you have a couple handfuls of raw walnuts. You also have 2 scoops of chocolate protein powder. Mm. So yes, that's processed, but you could also use just basic pea protein, which is a little less processed. And get this, a whole jar of almond butter.
A jar?
A jar of almond butter.
Wow. Didn't realize
that. And Himalayan sea salt or Himalayan salt, I'm sorry, Himalayan salt, or you could use sea salt and vanilla. Optional would be to add in some vegan chocolate chips, some cocoa nibs, something like that. That's it.
And we'll
mix it all together, put them on your pan in little scoops, mm-hmm. bake it for about 30 minutes.
Done. At 350 or what's
350, okay. Yep. And they're kind of like, they're not crispy cookies. They are not chewy cookies. They're more like a little muffin top kind of cookie. It's a little bread. It's kind of like a banana bread-ness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we will put the amounts in the show notes and all of that stuff. So we wanted to share that with you. Very excited about it. We've been doing it for the past few weeks, and it has it's taken us through the day.
Yes, because sometimes, you know, especially as it's getting colder, mm-hmm. I don't want my spinach protein drink. You know,
that doesn't sound appetizing to begin with. Spinach protein drink?
Yeah, I don't want it. It's like, I don't want a cold spinach protein smoothie. Mm-hmm. I just don't want it. Mm-hmm. But how about a protein cookie that you take from the freezer and heat in your microwave for just a few seconds, and then there's a little steam, you feel comforted. And I would say for people who are adventurous, you could take this recipe and adapt it, adding like pumpkin spice in there to make it a pumpkin spice cookie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A little nutmeg.
You could cinnamon. Do that. You could, if that feels a little bit too much, you could just add a little bit of cinnamon in there. You could add raisins in there to kind of make it feel more like an oatmeal cookie. So there's all kinds of things you can do. This is a good base for you.
Hope you enjoy it. So, beyond pronouns. So you may remember in the last episode, I shared about how a recent acquaintance of ours very kindly asked me my pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And but he referred to Sienna as my wife.
Oh, my God.
And we have a lot of fellow gay and lesbian friends and acquaintances who
have done the same.
Yeah, I mean, what else do you call a spouse?
You sound British.
Oh, what else do you call the spouse of someone who goes by she, her? You call them a wife, right?
But
what's so interesting, well, maybe it's not that interesting, but I'm glad that both of us share an aversion to the term wife in relation to us, like to each other. Like it just doesn't feel right.
Well, okay, so for me, it really doesn't feel right. I remember being at one of my work events and someone there who knows both of us, mm-hmm. you were there also, someone that knows both of us, introduced you as my wife and my skin just... I felt a little tingle and my skin started kind of crawling a little bit. I wanted to just turn inside out, hide, and crawl away. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what I looked like in that moment, what my face looked like, but I just don't like it. And I don't know. I think when that first happened, which was probably shortly after we were married, I remember just going, ooh, like it just hit me in the gut. Like, no, no, that's not the word. Toast is not my wife. It feels so wrong. So even for you, because I'm feminine, that's uncomfortable for you also is what I'm hearing.
For myself to be referred to as?
No, no, for me. For someone to say, Sienna is your wife, is that uncomfortable for you as
well? Yeah, it doesn't feel quite right.
Even though I'm feminine.
Yes.
See, so that's interesting to me because I didn't know if it was because you're so far from a wife.
I don't have the apron and the polka dot.
You
house
don't
dress.
No. You're not making jello molds, you know?
Yeah.
And that sounds horrible. I just realized as we said that it just sounds horrible.
Well,
but we are old school lesbians, so we get a pass. I'm going to just keep saying that going
whatever.
Forward.
Yeah.
But so it's just, and maybe some might think, well, hell, it took us so long to have the right to actually marry each other.
To have the human rights, right? To
human,
have the civil
basic
rights.
Human rights. To marry each other. Let's grab onto wife. If it's two men, let's grab onto husband. You know? And I wonder, we should ask our gay guy friends who are married.
How they feel.
Is it uncomfortable to be called, to refer to your spouse as a husband? Like, is that uncomfortable for you as well? Mm-hmm. I really don't know what it is for me. I thought it was just the obvious. You're so not a wife.
Even though I do clean the toilet bowls and I do like
you do
I
cook
will put
for
on
us.
I do put on
your stormtrooper
my stormtrooper kitchen apron when I cook.
But see, you also take out the trash. Now would I want someone to refer to you as my husband? No.
Right. That's not correct either.
You're not my husband.
Or it doesn't feel right either.
I know.
So
it's just
what we realized, and again, I'm very grateful that you and I, Sienna, are on the same page in an effortless way when it comes to this, when it comes to terms. So we realized that our least favorite term is wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't like it.
Mm-mm.
Don't like it.
Nope.
Not going to make a big deal out of it if somebody, you know, we're not going to correct somebody and say, ooh, this doesn't work for me. It's just
we
are just aware of our emotional reaction. The next term that feels a little better is spouse. You know, that feels
spouse
more neutral.
Is, okay, for me, spouse is much better.
It's better than wife.
A lot better. Like leaps and bounds to me, leaps and bounds better.
But the best one is simply partner.
Yeah.
Right? Just partner.
Easiest, partner. Most natural, rolls off the tongue, feels the most true. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
The only thing is that we do have experience with a straight friend of ours referring to his girlfriend as his partner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he didn't like girlfriend. I don't know. and then that was a little that had a little funny feeling to it because it's like we didn't know. It seemed kind of standoffish. It's like she's not my girlfriend. She's my partner. You know, it feels.
But yet I feel like for him, he was elevating girlfriend. Because this is my partner in life.
Okay.
That's what I felt he was saying. And I'm like, oh, okay. He's serious. Like,
okay.
This is a level.
And I think that relates to our distaste for the wife term is because I think the cultural baggage of wife is that, oh, yeah, that's a second class place, right? In terms of status, in terms of authority and respect. There's cultural baggage on the word wife. And that's why we kind of make these remarks about at home making jello mode and pushing the vacuum. And, you know, it's like, wife, you know? So I think that's the analysis that I can have in terms of like, why does it feel weird?
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember that our friend who mm-hmm. called his girlfriend my partner, mm-hmm. his partner then said, I just sound like your business partner.
Right, yeah. yeah.
Which is true,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then when you do call someone, even though Toast and I prefer partner, mm-hmm. when you do refer to someone as your partner, it almost feels like you don't give the weight to the marriage because mm. partners don't need to be married. So mm. you don't acknowledge that these partnered people are actually married.
Mm. And that's where spouse has the advantage.
I think so, you know?
You know, sorry, little
I don't know what
sidebar, apologies for the...
For Bear's ruckus.
Sounds. Yeah.
All right.
Our cat is just kind of bouncing all around here.
Okay, but here's what's so lovely. Our friends, who are a married lesbian couple,
okay.
they have some great terms for... So the one who leans more feminine energy, mm-hmm. she's come up with two terms for her spouse who leans more masculine.
Okay.
And he's figuring out how to open that.
Bear.
Okay, let's...
Our cat is so intelligent.
All right. Let's take a pause for a second. All right. Sorry about that. This is Life with Cats. So anyways, our friend has come up with two terms for what normally would be her wife, her spouse, and she affectionately refers to her as her husband.
Her I husband. I like that one better than
husband,
wife.
Wife, husband, husband. Also, what was the other one? Husband.
My husband. Those are great.
Her
right?
and husband. Husband, husband. Okay.
That feels better than
gives
wife.
Us some, or husband.
Yes, yes. Or husband. Yes. So you can use those.
You can use those.
You know,
feel free.
Put those out there.
But yeah, I think it's really interesting too how for Toast and I, especially when we were doing music, people would ask us. They would stare a little long because they feel the connection, right? We're doing music together. We're, you know, they're like,
Oh.
And
this is important information. Mm-hmm. I think during that time, I had longer hair. I had hair long enough to be put into a ponytail.
But even after that, when you cut it all off, because remember that one gig? Well, we can tell them that story.
Not all off.
Well, not all off. But people, you know, they stare a little long and then they ask, are you sisters?
But they ask it like that.
Are you sisters?
See, yes. Sienna has vivid memory of this, and I don't so much.
I think that they are picking up on the connection, which almost seems like just a family way. You know, like there's a connection, mm-hmm. but it's like, I don't think, like they're not thinking lesbians.
Yeah, they didn't have that as a category in their
mind. It's not upfront in their mind. So it's right. like, they must be sisters.
But see, again, this is a story from back in the day before the LGBTQ community was so high profile, you know, higher profile, where now it's like, yes, it's a category and everybody knows.
Was it that long ago?
I mean, long enough ago.
I mean, it definitely yeah. Has gotten more of a household kind of
right.
place,
yes.
right?
Awareness, yeah.
yes, most definitely. I do think that in the times that I'm referring to, it mm-hmm. was LGBTQ is already on there. LGBTQ,
was it? Okay,
right? Because we've been around when it was just LGBT,
even before then.
I don't remember
when it was
before.
GLB or
oh, I don't know,
gay
that.
And lesbian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that'll be a whole other podcast with the origins of that, the pink triangle, the whole thing. But anyways, and I remember there was one gig in particular. Toast and I were already, we were married because I had your last name.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, your hair was short at this time.
Okay.
So we had our music business card. Someone had asked us, they came up, asked us for our card. They were thinking of hiring us for some other event. And she's looking at the card. She's looking up at us. She's looking at the card. She's looking up at us.
Well, did she ask if we were sisters or?
She did. She asked if we were sisters.
And then we said no.
And then then I could tell where she was going. And she's like, oh, because the last name is the same. And I just walked away. I walked away to leave toast to answer her. Because I was uncomfortable because that LGBTQ was not part of her language.
No. She was even more old school than we were.
I felt uncomfortable. I didn't know how to address it. So I said, oh, well, hold on. And I just walked away.
And I don't even remember exactly what I said, but it was probably something to the effect of, yeah, we do have the same last name.
And just didn't go into it, huh?
Yeah. And I'd just be like, you figure that one out.
It's just so, it can be so uncomfortable sometimes.
But that's why it's so good that, you know, the LGBTQ category
is expanding.
Is more widely known.
Yeah, because and then, expanding.
Yeah, and that, you know, helps to prevent these awkward social situations.
Yeah.
Because now everybody has this category. And so there doesn't need to be the awkward possibility of being asked if, are you sisters? And then needing to reply, no, we're lovers.
And I think what's so helpful too is that, you know, you see the lesbian couples in your TV shows, your movies. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere now. Right. You know, they're even in Hallmark shows, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so I think that
they're in children's books.
People, are they in children's books? Oh, like Two Moms, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. But just, I'm talking about where straight people would likely have more exposure.
Well, totally. Yes.
Known exposure.
Exactly.
Right? They wouldn't necessarily come across the Two Moms books, but in like your regular TV show.
Yeah.
Seeing
straight people have, a lot of straight people have children.
No, I know, but I don't know how much the Two Moms books are available on the front and center at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
You know, that might be on Amazon.
Or in their classroom, if they haven't been banned. It depends where you live, right? I mean, that's the thing. But anyway.
My goodness. Yeah, there's so many things. Yeah. But we've come a long way.
Let's keep going.
Yep.
We'll see you on Instagram. We're wrapping this up. Look us up. We're at Sienna and Toast. All one word. Sienna with one N, though. Sienna. Andy, Toast. Sienna and Toast. And we're also at siennaandtoast.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Signing off from your old school lesbians.
Live your love story.
Amen.
Hi, I'm Jane Asher, and I believe, and from what I've been shown, that when our loved ones die, they don't really leave. They just slip into the next room. On my podcast, I explore the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows when we do die. I speak with authors, friends, transition specialists, and other experts about every facet of death, dying, grief, hospice care, cultural traditions, and also our beliefs about that final journey and what we may end up facing. Please join me on The Next Room on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.